is to let people know how much he loves them. Amen? And today we have the great privilege of hearing once again God's word. And as we study his word, I pray that it will encourage you to use the talents that God has given you to witness to others. Pastor Jeff and I have been doing a series on stewardship. We did on the past two Sabbaths, right before Pastor Jones came and shared with us regarding the Sabbath. We talked about treasures. And today I will be sharing with you regarding talents and how we can use the talents God has given us to share with others the good news that Jesus is coming again. Praise God for music. Amen. That's a talent we have in our church. Praise God for administrators. Amen. We need great administrators. Praise God for teachers. We have the gift of teaching in our church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us that the Spirit is the one who gives these talents. And all this for the common good of God's people. And so we praise God that we have these talents in our church and that we're able to experience them when we come to this place. Now you might think, well, I don't have the gift of music, or I don't have the gift of teaching, I don't have the gift of preaching, I don't have all these gifts that are needed in the church. I praise God for those who are able to work the board, the soundboard, amen? Our multimedia, our social media. Pastor Jeff has the gift of design. You saw all those announcements inside your bulletin? Some of them, he designed them. And it's beautiful to have these gifts in our church because they're there to be used. They are there to share with others what God is doing in each one of our lives. And you might still think, I don't have any of those, Pastor Sam, that you just mentioned. How many of you have the gift of smiling? Amen? That's an incredible gift that we need in our church, of giving a handshake, giving a hug, letting somebody know that you care about them, listening to them. Those are important gifts that God wants to see in his church. This week we received news that we will be able to put up a radio antenna here in Fallbrook. Amen? We got a license about 2 or 3 years ago, but we had not been able to find a place to put the antenna. We were thinking of putting it here at our church. We have a little bit of land, and they told us we could not use this because of some of the houses around us. But we found a nursery across the freeway who is willing to lease us a plot of land, and we are going to be starting very soon to build this antenna. And people in Fallbrook, people who travel on the freeway, on the 15, are going to be able to hear what we say here at our church. Amen? And we're going to be able to use also other networks, Adventist network channels that we could share the good news, like the Voice of Prophecy and many other of these ministries. They'll be able to hear it here in Fallbrook and along the freeway. So we see how God is opening doors. We do need your prayers. It's important as we move forward. We have a little bit of time to do this, so we are asking for your prayers. Talents, they're needed. They're needed to do things like the ones we do here at our church. And we ask ourselves many times, what talent has God given me? And can I use it? Today I want to share with you a parable that you know well, a parable of the talents. And in the book of Matthew, this parable is set in the context of Jesus' second coming. And in the Gospel of Luke, you also find this parable in the same context. But this time, Jesus told this parable when he was visiting the city of Jericho. And there was a short man in Jericho who wanted to see Jesus. His name? Zacchaeus. And he went up on this tree because he wanted to see Jesus. And as Jesus was going by that tree, he called Zacchaeus down and said, Zacchaeus, come, because today I'm going to have supper in your house. And Zacchaeus got all excited. But all the other religious leaders who were there, they said, hey, Jesus, This man's a sinner. What are you going to be doing at his house? Does Jesus hang around sinners, brothers and sisters? He hangs around sinners. But he wants them to change, amen? And so he told this group the following verses here that we find in Luke chapter 19, verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen? As we heard, God sent his only begotten Son, paid the ultimate price for each one of us. He paid it for Zacchaeus, and he paid it for all of humanity, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's in this context, in the house of Zacchaeus, in the city of Jericho, that Jesus told the following parable. Verse 11. "Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem." Jesus knew his time was short. "And because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately." They were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting this kingdom of peace, this kingdom of freedom. They were tired of being under the Roman yoke. And now they were saying, "Jesus, when are you going to tell us? When are you setting your kingdom? We want to be part of it." And Jesus, knowing that they wanted to know when he was going to come, he told them, "It's not that important when I'm coming, but it is important how you prepare for his coming." Amen? How to be ready. And so he used this parable. We find it in verse 12 on. "And he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country." Jesus was talking about himself. "You know, my kingdom, I'm going to get it. It's with my Father. In fact, he's the king of the universe. But I'll bring this kingdom down to planet Earth." And he said, "A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." Praise God for the promise that Jesus is coming again. Amen? "So he called 10 of his servants," not that many, "delivered to them 10 minas, 10 talents. And he said to them, 'Do business till I come.'" Do what? Business. Not necessarily just stay busy doing whatever, but put to use what I have given you. 10 servants, 10 minas. How many did each servant get? They got one talent. It's a little different from the story he shares, or Matthew shares with us. Each one gets one mina. And he told him, "Do business with it. Invest it. Use it. Put it into practice." Was it going to be easy to use this talent? Not necessarily. Look at what verse 14 tells us. "But his citizens, those in the world, hated him and sent a delegation after this nobleman, saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us. We don't need you, Jesus. In fact, we like it the way it is. We do want some changes, but we don't want you to reign over us.' And so the nobleman left," Jesus told them, "to this far country, and he returned. Having received the kingdom, he then commanded the servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So the first one came saying, 'Master, your mina, your talent has earned another 10. Wow! 1,000%. Here, this all belongs to you. And the master, the Lord, the nobleman said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little. Have authority over 10 cities. There was a reward for investing those talents. The reward was great. Now lead. Now have authority over 10 cities. Many of us sometimes think, if God gives me something important to do, I'll do it with all of my strength. But if it's something small, well, somebody else can do it. I don't have to do it. But here we see that God put these servants in charge of something small at the beginning. Because they were faithful, he rewarded them by putting them in authority of 10 cities. The next one came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 500%. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Have authority. Lead over 5 of these cities. But then another one came, saying, Master, here is your one mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. What? You didn't invest it? You didn't use it? You just put it in a napkin, in a handkerchief? You basically buried it? That's it? What happened? Well, he replied, I feared you because you are an austere man. Wow. This servant was blaming who? He was blaming the owner. He was blaming the Lord. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. I was afraid to invest it because, hey, I know you're mean. I know you reap where you have not sown. You take from what you did not deposit. And so this Lord, this master, said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Why did you not put your talent to work? If you know I'm coming, if you know that I will be asking that which is mine, why did you not put it to work? Praise God for people with talents. Amen? And praise God for those who are willing to share their talent. This week I found somebody who was willing to share his talent with me. He's not a Christian. He's a skater, or was a skater. He's now in his 60s. He broke the record going downhill 55 miles an hour in the 1970s. So he knows all these skaters who are in Carlsbad, Leucadia, and Sanitas. And he knows also these surfers. And Fabian, who's here visiting us from Austria, Fabian, can you raise your hand? Because some of our church members still don't know who you are. I invited him over to my house and on Sunday because he wanted to see the Pacific Ocean. He was like, it's been 10 years since I've seen the Pacific Ocean. I want to see it again. So beautiful. So Sunday afternoon, after our CRCP concert here, we went home and we went into the water, boogie boarding, catching some waves. The waves were high and hard to catch. There was high tide. There was a storm down in Mexico, so it made it a little more difficult. And they were crashing on the shore of the beach. I told Fabian, hey, tomorrow morning, before I have to go back to church, because I have a staff meeting with Pastor Jeff, with Sabrina, with Lorraine at 10 a.m., let's go back into the water. So at 8 a.m., we were back in the water. And the water was warm, the waves were big, but still, it was hard to catch. And before going into the water, I had left my towel, I'd left my keys on the sand, like I always do. And this time I saw the waves were a little bigger, and I thought, let's make sure it's far from the shore. So easily, the distance was between the shore and that door over there. Easily, that was the distance between my keys and the water. We were in there for about 45 minutes, thought, hey, it's time to go. And when I walked out, looked to see where my keys were, where the towels were, where the sandals, everything's gone. And there's this big tide pool full of water. And there's this little river running from south to north, right where I left my things. And I thought, oh, no. No staff meeting today, I think. No towel, no sandals. But I said, hey, you can keep that. I want my keys back. And at that moment, the first thing that came to our thought was, let's pray. Yes, in difficult times, what do? We pray. We say, God, help us. I thought, God, you know where these keys are. You're going to find them for me. In fact, I'm ready. Tell me. I got a staff meeting I have to go to. And no answer. But God, you know where it is. Just tell me and I'll dig in and get my keys. No answer. Okay, God, just show me something shining in the sand. That's good enough for me. If you show me a little piece of metal, I'll go right there and grab my keys. Nothing. No answer. Okay, God, I'll just bump into my keys. How about that? And find them. No answer. An hour and a half went by, brothers and sisters, quickly. And people around were just coming toward us and saying, hey, are you looking for marine life? No, I'm looking for my keys. And they're like, oh, that's pretty bad. You lost your keys. They felt sorry for us. And we're like, yeah, we lost our keys. And they're here somewhere. And they would kind of look around, like, wow, that's going to be difficult. So they'd leave. Others would just come by and say, hey, give me your number, and I'll call you when somebody else finds your keys. Okay, thank you. Another family was visiting from Germany there. They're like, get a metal detector. You know, they will find your keys. Another lady said, hey, just buy one and return it after you use it. It's like, no, that's not a good idea. So everybody was giving us ideas as to how to find these keys. And I told Fabian, let's just walk home. Let's walk and we'll get ready. We'll come back and hopefully the water has settled. And by then I can find these keys. So we did that. Came back. Sun was higher and hotter. And looking, and now the water was nice and clear. And some spots were dry. And we were digging through sand that morning, brothers and sisters. And nothing. We could not find it. And we said, okay, the keys were left here. Let's make sure we cover all this area. Let's make sure we cover all that area. Let's make sure we cover all this other area over here. We went all around and nothing. We couldn't find a thing. One of the guys who came by and said, hey, what are you looking for? And we explained, and he's like, oh, no. He said, I'm going to tell my family right now and let them know what's going on. And so he left to tell his family. When he was up there, and close to the parking lot, he looked down and he said, hey, there's a guy with his metal detector on the shore. And when we looked, there was a guy with his earphones, orange. He was walking. I said, yes, here we go. And so I walked over to him. And when he saw us, he lifted up his head and saw us. He took down his earphones and he said, hey, I've been looking for you. I said, for me? He says, yeah. You're the guy who lost his keys, right? He says, yes. So I'm here to help you. I say, well, thank you. So tell me, where? We'll find him right away. I said, well, I left my keys right here. And so he came with a little machine. Nothing. And it was working because we found several bottle caps. And that was not my keys. And we found little pieces of metal, not my keys. He was finding all these little things and picking them up, and he would put them in his bag. He says, we have to clean up the beach. So there he goes. And I said, well, maybe it wasn't this volleyball post. Maybe it's the one over here. So off he went and covered all this area, and no keys, brothers and sisters. I was praying, God, you know where these keys are. Why is it taking so long? Why don't you just show me? I'll give you all the honor and glory. And we say, well, the water is going this way, so let's try going this way. So he went and he covered and he said, well, by the time he got to this, around this far, he said, keys usually don't travel that far. They stay around the place you left them, but we'll keep going. As we were walking in, we started to walk into water, about this high. And then he stops, looks at me. I look at him. And he says, one second, he grabbed his shovel, dug into this much of sand, pulled out my keys. Amen? Pulled out my keys. I said, thank you. Thank you so much. At that moment, I wanted to just give him a big hug, but I waited. And I said, hey, how much do I owe you? And he said, we don't ask. Whatever you want to give us, it's okay. Whatever, just whatever. Okay, I'll be right back. So I went to the ATM machine, and I thought, I'm going to give him something even better than these dollars. I'm going to give him a Steps to Christ. And I'm going to give him another book by Alejandro Bullón called The Invitation. And I'm going to give him this other book that I have. I was so happy I was going to give him my whole library. But I thought, these three books, they're good, and he's going to just enjoy reading it because I enjoy reading it. And so put the money inside the books, came over, and as I came over, there was his car. He was getting ready to go home, and I shared. I said, hey, thank you, John. I have something I want to give you, but something even better than gold, better than silver. And then he asked the following question. Who are you? What denomination? I said, I'm a Christian. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. And he said, no, thank you. No, nope. I don't want your books. I was a little disappointed. You don't want my books. No, I don't want your books. You won't read them? I won't read them. So give it to somebody else who will read them. How about your wife? Nope. How about your kids? No. They're not going to read it. And so he started to share why he does this. You know why I do this? Because I want to help others. Really. When I help others, I have a lot of pain. Probably from all that skateboarding downhill at 55 miles an hour. He said one time he crashed on purpose for $100. He said, not a good idea to crash on purpose. He said, I did that. I was young and crazy. And so he started to share. You know, no pain when I'm helping others. In fact, my wife tells me, go to the beach and help somebody. I feel better. I'll tell you another reason why. He said, last night we had a funeral. And at the funeral, there was a born-again Christian. And at that funeral, instead of talking about the person who just passed away and what that person meant to them, he gave his personal testimony for the 10th time. And I wrote him an email. He's a friend of mine, he said. He's a skater. He did drugs. He went to jail. In jail, he found Jesus, came out a preacher, a born-again Christian. But every time, that's all he wants to talk about. And I said, John, there is a time and a place for everything. I said, yeah, I just told him, I'm not going to another funeral if you're going to give your testimony at that funeral. And I just heard what he was saying. I said, would you mind if I read you the first page of Steps to Christ? And he said, okay, you could do that. So he heard that first page. It talks about God's amazing love. How everything depends on God. The birds, the trees, they were all made for our happiness. They were all made to serve a purpose. They all reveal God's amazing love to each one of us. And he shared something after I finished reading. He said, you know, I have a granddaughter, and she had a baby, and at 3 weeks old, the baby passed away. No reason. And I've been trying to encourage her and let her know, hey, just forget about it, just move on, and she can't let go. I'm worried for her. I said, okay. John gave me his card with his phone number. He said, God, this was not my plan to meet John. It was not my plan to be here at the beach till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But at the end, John said this. He said, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Okay. I don't know if I'll meet John again. I have his number. I can still talk with him. But I met a neat, neat person who found that in service and using the talent God has given him, which is basically dig things that are hidden in the ground and find things that are in the sand, he helped me. And that day, I came to church at 3 p.m. Fabian came too, met Scott. They went home. I stayed a little longer. I was like, well, basically, my day is gone. I called some church members, see if they wanted me to visit. Nobody answered. I said, well, I'm going to just go home. But when I walked out, San Diego News was there. They had this car and with a lot of equipment. I said, whoa, what are you guys doing? And he says, well, we're going to do a live shot from here. Is it okay if we use your property? He says, yeah, it's okay. What happened? So there was a car accident last Saturday in the afternoon. A person died. There was a drunk driver who hit the car, passed away. I said, sure, go ahead. I went back into the office. Dale went out there to work on the garden. And praise God for those who have the gift of gardening. Amen? Because the vegetables that we get from that garden and from many of your gardens, incredible fruit, incredible vegetables. And a young man by the name of Kevin came to help Dale in the garden. And he was working there. He was the boyfriend of the anchor of this TV channel. And so he was there just waiting for her to do her thing and then helping Dale work. I came down again, and I started to help Dale with his garden. And then Elliot came, and four of us were working hard in that garden. He had put in some posts. And Dale knows he's not going to put him that deep in there because they were so hard to get out. We were just working and working to get these metal posts out. And once we got one out, then the next one, by the time she finished, we were done also taking these posts out. And then the guy said the following thing. I told the guy, thank you. And he said, hey, nothing to thank me. I'm paying you guys back. Paying us back for what? And he said, well, I was on the Pacific Crest Trail, And I came to Shasta. There was a little church there. I think it's a church or a school or something. And when we came down the mountain, the people there, you're Seventh-day Adventist, right? So, yeah, we're Adventists. They gave us food to eat. Wow. You're so nice, so friendly. They fed us. So this is my way of thanking you. The anchor finished and came over to Dale and started to look at the things he had there, tomatoes and many other vegetables that he had. And Dale said, hey, take some home. And she asked, what are you doing here? And Dale said, we're doing a garden. And we're hoping to build it up and make a community garden down here. And she said, well, when you have that garden ready, call me. I would like to make a report on it. Amen? I'll come and share this story with all of San Diego. The little things, brothers and sisters. Not the big things. The little things. If we put those talents to work. There's a quote, there's several quotes in Steps to Christ that talk regarding this very subject. The talents, however few, are to be put to use. The question that most concerns us is not how much have I received, but what am I doing with that which I have? The development of all our powers is the first duty we owe to God and to our fellow men. No one who is not growing daily in capability and usefulness is fulfilling the purpose of life. In making a profession of faith in Christ, we pledge ourselves to become all that it is possible for us to be as workers for the Master. And we should cultivate every faculty to the highest degree of perfection, that we may do the greatest amount of good of which we are capable. Amen? We can use the smallest of talents. In this other quote, she says, of every Christian, the Lord requires growth in efficiency and capability in every line. Christ has paid us our wages, even his own blood and suffering, to secure our willing service. He came to our world to give us an example of how we should work and what spirit we should bring into our labor. He desires us to study how we can best advance his work and glorify his name in the world, crowning with honor, with the greatest love and devotion. The Father, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? What a gift has God given us so that we could share it with somebody else. And this year for evangelism, we're not thinking of bringing a great speaker, a great evangelist. We're praying to God that God will show you what talent he has given you, and we're praying that you will use it to bring somebody to the feet of Jesus. Amen? That's what the calling is. I know we all want to know when Jesus is coming, but he's calling us to labor in his vineyard, to put to work the talents he has given us. This last quote, talents used are talents multiplied. Success is not the result of chance or of destiny. It is the outworking of God's own providence, the reward of faith and discretion of virtue and persevering effort. The Lord desires us to use every gift we have. And if we do this, we shall have greater gifts to use. He does not supernaturally endow us with the qualifications we lack, but while we use that which we have, He will work with us to increase and strengthen every faculty. By every wholehearted, earnest sacrifice for the Master's service, our powers will increase. Amen? Is there work to be done, brothers and sisters? There's work to be done. Is Jesus wanting us to use the talents he has given us? Pete, thank you for your smiles. How many appreciate Pete's smiles every time we come to church? We think of Pete and George being our greeters. Yes? All those who greet. Harold, Judy. Important. What the world is looking for is people who care. Amen? And you know, being at the beach that day, I found a lot of people. And I think a lot of them were not Christian. And I was saddened by that. But they cared. They showed it. They came over and said, "Hey, what are you looking for?" "My keys." "Oh, here, give me your number. If somebody finds them, I'll give you a call." "Hey, there's a guy with a metal detector. And before I even found John, he knew my problem." He knew it. I was surprised. "You know about it already?" "Yeah." The funny thing that he said was, he said this, "The lady with the rake told me about it." And I thought, "What lady with the rake? I can't remember that lady." He says, "Yeah, the one who gave you the rake." So you, I said, "I can't remember. I was using my hands, this little plastic toy that I found. We were digging through the sand." God has a million ways of answering our prayers, brothers and sisters. We think it's this way, God. This is what I need. Answer me right now. But God has a million ways of answering our prayers. And what he's inviting us to do is to put our talents to use and say, "God, how do you want me to use this for your honor and glory?" Is the reward great? The reward is great. What God is asking us, is it very difficult to do? It's not very difficult because he's just telling you to use what he has given you. And praise God for the talents he has given his church for these last days so that we can tell people, Jesus is coming soon. Amen.